Swapurim, his own town. Viksha Sin, Pratikulan, opposing elements. Anadritan, being disrespectful. Putran, sons. Putra, grandsons. Anuga, servants. Amachan, ministers. Jayam, wife. Cha, and. Get the sour down. Indifference. Translation. King Paranjana then saw that everything in his town was scattered, and that his sons, grandsons, servants, and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. So you can repeat. King Paranjana then saw that everything in his town was scattered, and that his sons, grandsons, servants and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. So purport by Zivangraya Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When one becomes an invalid, his senses and organs are weakened. In other words, they are no longer under one's control. The senses and sense objects then begin to oppose him. When a person is in a distressed condition, even his family members, his sons, grandsons, and wife, become disrespectful. They no longer are under the command of the master of the house. Just as we wish to use our senses for sense gratification, the senses also require strength from the body in reciprocation. A man keeps a family for enjoyment. And similarly, family members demand enjoyment from the head of the family. When they do not receive sufficient money from him, they grow disinterested and ignore his commands or desires. This is all due to one's being a kripana, miser. This word kripana, used in the sixth verse, is in opposition to the word brahmana. In the human form of life, one should become a brahmana, which means that one should understand the constitutional position of the absolute truth, Brahman, and then engage in his service as a Vaishnava. We get this facility in the human form of life, but if we do not properly utilize this opportunity, we become a kripana, miser. A miser is one who gets money but does not spend it properly. This human form of life is especially meant for understanding Brahman, for becoming a brahmana, and if we do not utilize it properly, we remain a kripana. We can actually see that when one has money but does not spend it, he remains a miser and is never happy. Similarly, when one's intelligence is spoiled due to sense gratification, he remains a miser throughout his life. All right. So, Vishirnam swaparim viksha pratikulan nanadritan putran putranu gamachan jayam chagata sauridam. So, Om Aganata Madanda Shaganjana. Shalakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this particular verse and purport, there are two things that are being referred to here. One is the body, and the other one is one's family. Because, in one sense, metaphorically, the body can be compared to one's family. I mean, there's different connections, allegorical connections. The wife is sometimes understood to be one's intelligence, and, of course, the senses could sometimes be compared to other family members. So in both cases, whether we take it as the body or take it as the family, this particular verse and purport apply. What do I mean by that? That if one is not Krishna conscious, then in the body, the previous sense objects, as described here, become abhorrent to one. And I'll give an example of that. An example of that is, let's say, the eating process. When you're young, you have a great fire of digestion. You know, you can eat so many different things, enjoy in so many different ways. But then when you get older, as described in previous verses, then eating actually can cause a lot of distress in the body. You know, you have gas, you have nausea, and, of course, what was mentioned previously, you know, with the organ of evacuation, there's so many problems, too. You know, you can have, you know, constipation, diarrhea. I don't want to get into all those details in class because they're rather scatological. Scatological means dealing with bodily fluids. It's not so nice to talk about that in class. So, in any case, those things that were previously enjoyable, like I remember, and I'll just give a practical example in my own life, that, you know, last night I cooked a little bit extra stuff. I made popcorn for the deities, and I put some salt in, and then I took some of it. I thought, oh, it's not going to hurt me. You know, it's regular salt. And then the blood pressure goes up. You know, something that, you know, popcorn, you know, just an innocent thing like popcorn. And the blood pressure goes up. You know, I said, you know, I'll enjoy it. You know, I made a little bit because Vanamali was coming over to the house. So I thought, you know, it'd be nice to give him popcorn. And then I said, oh, popcorn, I should take some too. So then blood pressure goes up. And then, you know, then other things that I used to enjoy like crazy when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, like halva, pakoras, glob jamuns. Anyway, I can go on and on, you know, naming different preparations, cake and different things like that. Now if I take them, it'll be disaster for me. I mean, really disaster in different ways. I mean, blood pressure may go up and the arteries may fill up with so much gunk that I'd have to get a open heart surgery. Yeah, the level of sugar, the glucose level may go up. You know, then you may get diabetes. So many things. So you really can't enjoy that. But these things are still there in front of you. Like I was describing, the popcorn is still there in front of me. You know, so it's very difficult living in this world. And the same things you would enjoy, you know, can cause you a lot of distress and even death. But to speak of distress, the very same thing. So it's very traumatic being killed by popcorn. So what was the cause of death? Popcorn. So just like one of my disciples came to visit me yesterday, and his mother just died two or three weeks ago. And she died basically because, I mean, you can see she was in her house. The body was discovered 2 weeks after she died. This happens sometimes when people are living alone. You know, the neighbors notice some interesting incense. I'm speaking facetiously, smell coming from the house, and then they call the police. The police come in and find the person, you know, in whatever situation. So if one's not careful, the point I'm making is one's not careful, one gets overweight, so many things happen when you get old, then it's actually disastrous. So you have to be real careful in dealing with the senses and sense objects when you're old. Like Prabhupada said, when you're young, you can make the mistake of eating too much. And when you're old, you should make the mistake of eating too little. This is Prabhupada's statement. Because the same things that were enjoyable. And then, you know, what to speak if you do sporting activities. Of course, even when you're young, sporting activities can be very disastrous. I've been reading recently that, you know, people play soccer or play football or any of these contact sports. They're called contact sports. That when they get older, they have problems. I have disciples and friends who played contact sports just in high school, and then they have problems with their brain. They have problems with their spine, and so many problems just from a little bit of high school sports. And of course, that's in the news now too. So, but when you get older, if you try to do these things, if you break some bones, you're out of commission for a long time. Or what to speak if you break the middle section of your body, sometimes you die after that. So things get worse. In other words, things get worse as you get older. So that's the body. However, one other thing, the wife is sometimes compared to the intelligence. We were talking about the analogy of the body. Right now, we're going to get to the family situation in a second. So let's say the intelligence, if you're Krishna conscious, gets better when you get older. That's because you're a repository of spiritual knowledge. Whereas the other senses, they get weaker and they get worse. But the intelligence actually gets better when you get older, if you don't engage in sense gratification when you're young. If you're able to control your senses when you're young and control your senses when you're old, the intelligence gets better and better, and you're able to... What does intelligence mean? To discriminate. It's the form direction of the super soul based upon your desire, but it's the ability to discriminate between what should be done, what should not be done, right and wrong based on shastra, that's spiritual intelligence. So intelligence will get better. All right, so let's talk about the other metaphorical situation here, which is the family. Now, in the family, as mentioned here, we have the traumatic experience of having our family members become disrespectful and oppose us because they just see us as an old man who can no longer satisfy their senses. As we mentioned before, yesterday, that when you have these intimate relationships, you see the other person as an object that is meant to satisfy you in different ways according to what relationship you have. And as we mentioned yesterday, that the more intimate the relationship is in the material world, the more you have demands on the person to satisfy your senses, right? The more you expect from the person, and therefore the more angry you get towards the person. The more intimacy, the more anger there is. This is a direct correspondence. If you had a graph, on one axis there was intimacy, on the other axis there was anger. It would be like either a straight line or exponential. I don't know. Haven't really calculated it or done a thorough study. But I know that there is a correspondence between intimacy and anger and frustration and bitterness and depression. All these emotions that are quite unpleasant are present to a greater degree the more intimate the relationship is. Disappointment because you're expecting more. Like I don't become disappointed with a man on the street because I don't expect anything from him or her. But someone who is very close, then I have great expectations. Okay. So, therefore, because you have these expectations from someone, and they also have expectations from you, because when you have expectations from someone, it's not just a one-way street. It's I scratch your back, you scratch mine, or as Prabhupada said, and the acharyas say, the cheater is in the cheated. That's the world that's, in the name of love, it's actually cheaters and cheated. In other words, it's a business arrangement, but it's much more deep, sophisticated, involved, complicated than an ordinary business arrangement where you just go to the store and you buy a camera, you buy something from Circuit City. There's no Circuit City anymore, from Best Buy. It's much more complicated. So on both sides there's expectations or desires or demands or however you may call it. So when you get older and you can no longer fulfill their expectations, then... they just like, you're useless. You're useless. That's all. And you see that. I was just watching this film yesterday about George Harrison. I don't know if any of you have seen the film. It's very interesting. George Harrison had a wife. I'm using the past tense. He also had another wife after that. But anyway, his first wife, I think her name was Patty or something like that. Pervert would know more than I do about these things. I'm that expert. So he had a wife. And the wife was, somehow or other, he didn't fulfill all of her needs or all of her demands or anything like that. So along comes this other rock and roll star. And don't mention his name. I don't want to hear his name. He's a famous guitar player. And he, got very romantic with her and even wrote one famous song about her. How he couldn't have her because she was married to his best friend, George Harrison, whatever. And so one night he played the song for her. And then her heart melted. And she thought, he can fulfill more of my expectations or demands than George Harrison. Imagine, if I was married to George Harrison, I'd be in ecstasy. So, basically you can get anything you want, isn't it? Pretty cool. So, because I'm thinking more in terms of money now than anything else. So, definitely build a school and go over it on whatever I needed to do. So the point is that what happened is that she left him. And it was so heart-wrenching for George Harrison that the story is, this is a movie. Anyway, Mukunda Maharaj recommended this movie. That's why I watched it. And so what happened is that one night they were at a party and he said to his wife, are you coming home with me or are you going with him? And she said, I'm going with him. And that's so painful, isn't it? So he went into a funk, which means, a tailspin. And there's different ways of expressing depression. Funk, do you still use that word now? Yeah. Tailspin is like an airplane that just like loses control and then just like that. And he was hurt so much by that situation because she was looking for someone else to fulfill that particular desire, need, expectation, demand, whatever you have it. And it's so painful. So the situation being described here, where this Paranjana is experiencing his wife becoming indifferent to him, it's not that he's just thinking, well, it's time to take sannyas, It's painful. Someone who you had so many expectations from before, loving relationship, was claiming, I love you, you used to celebrate your anniversaries. Anniversary is anniversary of marriage. You had your silver jubilee, your golden jubilee, and your platinum jubilee. With that person, and all of a sudden the person won't even give you the time of the day. It is so painful. It's like having knives stuck in your heart, and rubbed in the heart. So, we deal with this sometimes, in advising people who are going through things. The wife leaves them, or their husband leaves them, or their boyfriend leaves them, or their girlfriend leaves them, and it's just like, they don't know what to do. So, what's the solution? Is the solution to forget about marriage and everything like that? No, that's not the solution. The solution is when you have a Krishna-conscious marriage, it should be Krishna-conscious, you should bring up the family understanding the priorities, the most important things in life, which is spiritual life. Then, when you're able to transform their consciousness from the romantic consciousness, because the romantic consciousness is one of exploitation, when you're able to transform the consciousness from the consciousness of romantic consciousness to the consciousness of spiritual advancement, pleasing Krishna, loving Krishna, chanting Krishna's holy names, then your wife, children, will appreciate you more when you get older. You understand? They'll appreciate you more because they're not seeing you as the object of fulfilling their desires, their material desires, but they're seeing you as a repository of spiritual knowledge, which we mentioned before in relationship to the body. That spiritual knowledge increases with age if one is performing devotional service. So therefore, you're more appreciable. In other words, you can be appreciated more when you get older. Otherwise, you'll be appreciated less. So therefore, one should train one's family, set an example. Then one will not be subject to these problems that are being described here, at least in relationship to family life. In relationship to the body, you're going to be subjected to these problems, no matter what you do, except for the intelligence can become stronger. That's compared to the wife. Good intelligence is compared to the wife. So that can become stronger. But everything else in the body, like the coordination, the limbs, the eyesight dims, I mean, your teeth fall out. Just like we have that story in the Bhagavatam about how Vidura is preaching to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is just like hanging on to the kingdom. Even though his sons were killed by the Pandavas, and Bhimsen's going around just slapping his arms, saying, "With these arms, I killed your sons." Ha ha ha. Like that. And Dhritarashtra just hanging on like a household dog. So basically, Vidura makes the argument, you know, you're getting old. Your teeth are, you know, just falling out there. They're getting loose. You're already blind. Your teeth are falling out. You know, it's time to do something spiritual, not remain in this situation anymore. So anyway, these things will happen to us. You know, our teeth will either rot, fall out. Of course, Prabhupada was very proud. He had his original teeth. He used to point to his teeth, as we mentioned the other day in class. Prabhupada said, "These are still the original teeth." And he had some gold fillings on his teeth. So we have to have realistic expectations, plan for the future so that our relationships will grow. It's not that we have to have these bitter relationships that are being described here. Our relationships will grow if we cultivate Krishna conscious knowledge. Not just work for Krishna, but cultivate knowledge and realization in Krishna consciousness, attachment for the holy names. So any questions or comments? Still got 10 more minutes. Yeah, left a lot of time. Yeah, Apurva Brew. That's the metaphorical. Yeah.
So I really can understand that even though it's metaphorical, because the prophet said about the 64 houses, although of course he said his disciples.
They had more, yeah.
Why is that a metaphor there?
Why is the metaphor there? Because a good wife, or a bad wife, bad wife is bad intelligence, but a good wife reminds you of your duties in Krishna consciousness. Good wife is called the Dharma Patni. Patni means wife, a Dharma, according to Dharma. So a good wife reminds a man that your duty, you know, she'll say, "Time to wake up, chant your japa, hubby." You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't have too much experience with these things, but I'm just saying that this is the ideal situation. Wake up, go to the temple, chant your japa, you know, whatever, say your guide, time to say your Gayatri. Just like even that story of, Jarakaru in the Mahabharata. It's a very interesting story. Jarakaru married a girl called Jarakaru, but he had the deal that if his wife said anything that aggravated him, he would leave. So it's a whole story. He was the father of Ashtaka, who saved all the snakes and from the fire yagya of Maharaj Janamanjaya. But the reason I'm telling the story is that one morning he was resting, this Jared Carter, the man, was resting. And his wife was thinking, you know, he's going to sleep through the time when he has to do his sanja. You know, the sanja means like the sunrise, sunset, and also the middle of the day when you say your Gayatri mantra. So the Brahmanas, they have all these performances they do with the sanjas. Not only the Gayatri mantras, I mean, they do all sorts of fancy things. So if they sleep through it, first of all, they're not supposed to sleep at that time of the day. That's considered muchi. That's not considered proper to sleep during any of the three sanjas, during the sunrise. Although, you know, nowadays I find devotees sleeping all the time during the sanjas. Understand? Because if you sleep during the sanjas, I mean, I'll give you the reason for not sleeping. Because Lord Shiva is just hanging around at that time with his associates. And you notice if you sleep during that time of the day, you've got all these interesting horror movies going on in your dreams. Yeah, because Lord Shiva's associates are flowing around at that time. So it's not auspicious to sleep during the sanjas. So anyway, so this Jared Karu, he was resting, and his wife was thinking, if I wake him up, he'll get aggravated at me and leave. And she was thinking, but if I don't wake him up, he won't perform his duties. So I wanted to perform his duties. So she was like a check and balance in his spiritual life. And she woke him up, even in spite of knowing the danger that he would leave her. And he did leave her, of course. That story's there in the Mahabharata. But she was actually very attentive as to his duty. So that's, in the proper household situation, that's a good wife. Very attentive as to the brahminical or kshatriya or vaishya duties of someone. And you'll find many examples as this. Of course, sometimes one has a bad wife, like Prabhupada had. And he wanted to have another wife who would be more congenial, but his father forbade him. His father said, this is a good wife because she's going to make you detached. So don't take another one. You know, Prabhupada wasn't thinking of divorce. He was thinking of polygamy because at that time it was allowed in India. So therefore, Prabhupada followed the instructions and then everything worked out all right in the end. So he had a bad wife, I mean a wife who would sell his Bhagavatam for tea biscuits, and then it sort of like gave Prabhupada the impetus to leave everything. And that's why Prabhupada came here. So we're very thankful that Prabhupada's wife was a bad wife. We thank Krishna every day that Prabhupada had a bad wife. Or else Prabhupada wouldn't have left her. Okay. And then, what's the other story? I mean, yeah, sometimes Krishna arranges for people to have bad wives or bad children. Just like that Maharaj Anga. His son was Vena. You know Vena? The story's there in the Bhagavatam. So Maharaj Anga's son was Vena, and he was thinking, what a horrible son. Of course, he married the wrong woman because she was the daughter of fear personified. So her son would take on her qualities. So he said, what a horrible son, because Vena was killing all of his friends and, you know, just like not such a cute little kid. But then he thought, what a nice son, because this son will actually give me the impetus to renounce and take up, gives me an excuse to take up Krishna consciousness fully and renounce. And that's what he did. And of course, Vena was left in charge of the kingdom, and Vena was later killed by the Brahmanas. And Prithu Maharaj was later installed as the king as a result of that. That story is there in the Bhagavatam. So in any case, the metaphor is a good wife is compared to good intelligence. And we see this when one has that situation where a good wife, good husband, they work together as a team to help each other in Krishna consciousness. So bad wife is actually... But it's the husband's responsibility to try to train up the family in understanding the purpose of life. Then these things, the point I was making, don't occur, that the wife becomes cold and indifferent and turns against him, and the parent, children turn against him. The children become very supportive of him in his old age. Just like Lord Chaitanya advised Gopal Bhatta to take care of his parents. And also Raghunath Bhatta, Goswamis. They were advised to take care of their parents, not to leave their parents. Whereas Raghunath Das, was advised to get the hell out of there as soon as possible. And Jiva Goswami never got married. I mean, if you go through the different Goswamis of Vrindavan, as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he never got married, but he took care of his parents. Whereas Sanatana Rupa, they were married. Nothing's mentioned about their wives. It's interesting in the whole history. I don't. This is a fancy word called hagiography, or hagiography, which means the biography of saints. So in their whole biographies, there's nothing mentioned about their wives. But they did take sannyas. They did renounce everything to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But you see, those who had actually good parents, the point I'm making is, those who had good parents were advised to stay with their parents and care for their parents until their parents left this world. And that's Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So this is, you know, that's actually an important point, that you don't renounce someone who is Krishna conscious, even family members. So family members, Prabhupada said, that, you know, like there was one sannyasi complaining about, you know, the position of women. Prabhupada said, as far as the injunction about avoiding the association of women, Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious woman, their association will help you become Krishna conscious. You understand? So it's the same statements that are made about women, the negative statements, the pejorative statements that are made, only refer to those who are not Krishna conscious, those engaged in sense gratification. And also the same thing with men. You know, man engaged in sense gratification, woman. In fact, it's more dangerous the association of a man engaged in sense gratification or a man attached to women than attachment to a woman engaged in sense gratification. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. And both those things have to be renounced if one wants to advance. So any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Explain more. I was going to pursue it yesterday, that you're talking about degrees of relationship and level of
intimacy
or anxiety.
Yeah.
So to cross into a sort of schizophrenic realm that we all have.
Yeah.
There's a relationship with the aspects of ourself.
Yeah.
Even though it's not another person. And then there's an expectation.
Yeah, we get angry with ourselves, too.
Yeah. Anger there, and it doesn't go anywhere. So,
well, it gets self-destructive and causes disease, yeah.
Yeah, go somewhere, I guess. It does go somewhere. How to deal with this?
How to deal with anger with ourselves? Then, Trinada Pisudichena. We have to understand that we're just 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, you know, lower than the store in the street, all those nice expressions we find in our shastras. And we understand that we're going to make mistakes, we're fallible, and we take shelter of Krishna's names. You know, that's how I approach it. I mean, otherwise I'd be angry with myself all the time. You know, what is it? It's beating myself up. And that wouldn't be too productive, you know, just, you rascal, you idiot. You know, sometimes we do that. You know, I make a mistake and I say under my breath, you idiot, how could you do that? But, you know, it doesn't help us to do that. It's not productive. Mistakes I take as an impetus to understand my fallible condition, my limited position in relationship to Krishna, and help me take shelter further of Krishna's holy names, rather than beating yourself up. Yeah, the more expectations you have from someone or even from yourself, the angrier you can get at that person. Or even an object. You know, if you have expectations, let's say you buy some really expensive car, like a Lamborghini or something like that. You know Lamborghinis? Or Mercedes, and the thing breaks down the first day, you get very angry. I mean, super angry. You know, something you have more expectations of. So it's basically the way I approach the world is, I don't have too many expectations. You know, Krishna's sort of taught me the lessons. I don't have too many expectations from anyone except for Krishna. And Krishna and Prabhupada. And so you don't get that disappointed. You know, otherwise you'll be disappointed, upset, angry, depressed quite a bit. If you have all these expectations, unrealistic expectations from yourself and from people. You know, why couldn't I do that? You know, just I'm useless, I'm hopeless, there's no use to my life. You know, I mean, just like, you can't go on like that. I have expectations. What is this called? Ashabanda. You know what Ashabanda means? That's the nectar devotion expression. Hope against hope. That even though I have no good qualities, no attraction for the hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna, I know Krishna's going to save me. I have faith in Krishna. That's my expectation. And that's mentioned specifically in the nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ashabanda it's called. Some of you may remember that term. Anybody remember it? Ashabanda. That's hope against hope. That your faith is in Krishna, your expectation. I know nityo nityanam chetanas chetanam eko bahanam yovadrati. Krishna is supplying all the needs of everyone. And so that's my expectation. Krishna will take care of me. But as far as myself,